fire, get no sleep, drive all night.
WMFO Medford. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice. So that was, let's see, where did it go now? The Black Keys. And I think that was a total ripoff of Hendrix, Hear My Train of Coming. Just my my attitude on that. Let's see, we're going to let go of this thing and close this guy out. All right. So, here we go. Hope everybody's doing great. It's trying to be spring. I don't know. It's a little bit windy and cooler this afternoon, but we got enough rain. I think we've, seems that what I heard is that we've had passed the deficit. In other words, we got enough rain here, but the western part, the western part of the state is still not good. So they didn't accept my login. I don't know why. Interesting. There we go. All right. So the first thing I want to let everybody know is that Passover is fast approaching. And those of us in the Jewish world, Jewish community, are getting ready by cleaning out all the chametz, anything that has leavening in it. And at the same time that you're physically doing the cleaning to rid your house of chametz and your car and your place of work, you're also ridding yourself of any spiritual chametz, that which keeps you from closeness to the eternal. So it's quite a process. And I know when I go through it, I always think I'm giving myself enough time, and I never am. So it's always a race to the finish. But it's interesting. You know, some people do spring cleaning, which has, you know, a little bit different notion. But it's kind of like when you have intention and you clean things out, it helps for you. And I need to focus on doing a lot more of that because I'm a pack rat myself. So Passover, April 10th to April 18th, and Tufts Hillel has a whole schedule in the Tufts Daily of Wednesday, but I'll give you some of the highlights. At April 10th at 7 o'clock, there is a traditional Seder. Registration for Seders is required and must be made in advance through their website. Space at Free Meals is limited and is available on a first-come, first-served basis. Please print your confirmation email and bring it with you to all meals. So so that's April 10th. April 11th, they have Passover services with lunch at 10:30 and a second night Seder. Bring your own questions at 7 o'clock. On April 12th, free community, free Passover community lunch, and that is at 12 p.m. And Hillel elections are held that evening at 7:30. Then, looks like they have a very Potter Passover Seder at 7:30 on April 13th. And then April 14th, they have Shabbat services at 6 o'clock. And Passover Shabbat dinner, April 14th at 7:15. April 15th at 10 p.m., Passover Shabbat services, and 12 p.m. lunch. April 16th, 7:30 p.m., free Passover community dinner, and you do need to register for that. 8:30 p.m., mental health Seder. Interesting. April 17th, at 12 o'clock, a Passover lunch and learn. And April 18th, 10 a.m., Passover services with Yiskor. Those are the special prayers for those who have passed on, and 12 p.m. lunch. So you can go to Hillel Tufts, tuftshillel.org for their complete schedule, more information, and to register. So that's all good. And I want to share some things with you that I've had ready, but I wasn't able to read them too earlier. This one comes to us from David Harris' blog from the AJC. Confronting Anti-Semitism in America, The Huffington Post, David Harris. He is the AJC CEO, and this was dated February 28th. No one is born hating, but tragically, some are taught to hate, whether in the name of racial purity, religious doctrine, political dogma, ethnic stereotyping, sheer jealousy, you name it. To state the obvious, Jews have never been immune from these age-old cancers, nor is it the case today. In the last few weeks alone, there have been bomb threats by the dozens against Jewish community centers across the country. More about that later. Other Jewish institutions, organizations, synagogues, schools have been on the receiving end of menacing calls and messages. Cemetery desecrations of Jewish headstones in St. Louis and Philadelphia have occurred. Nazi graffiti and slurs have been encountered in Buffalo. Swastikas have been burned into the hallway carpeting in front of Jewish students' rooms in a school dormitory. The list goes on. Yes, they coexist with another reality, namely that most American Jews live comfortable and secure lives in a land where pretty much every door is now wide open to them, and where a recent survey conducted by the Pew Research Center showed that Jews are the most positively viewed religious group in the United States. But that's of little solace to those who have experienced directly or indirectly the impact of this wave of bigotry and viciousness. Who exactly is behind this remains to be seen. Are they lone individuals? Are they many or few? Are they connected to one another by shared ideology and allegiance? Or are they more amorphous and atomized? Is a copycat phenomenon also at work? Well, we anxiously await further news about the perpetrators that will lead, hopefully, to their quick arrest and conviction. More American Jews today are rattled by these developments than at any time in recent history. Suddenly, decisions, for some, take on new meaning. Are parents being responsible in sending their children to the local Jewish community center for nursery school or toddler programs? Are there other places Jews should avoid? After all, if even the deep sleep of those buried in a Jewish cemetery can be disturbed by people determined to trample on their memory, what's safe space these days? This current problem is not entirely new. There were, for example, violent assaults on Jewish community centers in 1999 in California and 2014 in Kansas, and against a Jewish federation in Washington State in 2006. But somehow, tragic as they were, though these attacks were seen as more isolated incidents, unlike the current situation, which is national in nature. What can be done about today's reality? First, of course, there is law enforcement. No one else has the capacity to investigate, identify, and pursue those who may be involved in such malicious actions. At every level, from local to state to national, our authorities, who, it should be stressed, need to have total political backing, must dedicate greater resources to confronting and ending the physical dangers, and in process, coordinating intelligence and actions. This is beginning to happen, we are told, and it is gratifying to know that the FBI and the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division, among other key actors, are on the case. Second, the expression, if you see something, say something, might have taken on a certain cliched meaning for some Americans, but its importance remains undiminished. Even with a full court press, law enforcement can't be everywhere at all times, either on the streets or, for that matter, in cyberspace. Their efforts can be helped significantly by those on the lookout for violent attitudes and behavior, whether against Jews or other racial, faith, or ethnic communities. And third, the pillars of our broader civil society, religious leaders, civil rights advocates, the media, school officials, individuals, all have an absolutely essential role to play. Anti-Semitism is not an exclusively Jewish matter. Rather, it should be viewed as a much bolder concern. After all, anti-Semitism, like any form of racism, violates every norm of America's self-definition. It rips at the fabric of our democratic and pluralistic society. It challenges the mutual respect and coexistence that form the heart of the American experiment. If any group is targeted, all groups are at risk. Indeed, amid the wave of anti-Semitic threats and incidents of recent weeks, there has been violence against other vulnerable communities as well, including the fatal attack, which has all the appearances of a hate-inspired crime, on an Indian engineer in Kansas. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said, "We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools." One especially heartwarming and instructive response to anti-Semitism came in 1993 in Billings, Montana, after the desecration of a Jewish cemetery and a near-miss attempt to kill a 5-year-old Jewish boy in his house, where a Hanukkah menorah was displayed in the window. Led by the police chief and a newspaper editor, thousands of local residents took a replica of the Hanukkah menorah printed in the Billings Gazette and placed it in their windows. In effect, they were saying to the bigots, "We are all Jews. You're going to have to come after every one of us. We will not remain silent or lay low." The strategy worked. While anti-Semitism may not have been totally eliminated, the majority spoke up powerfully, isolating the haters. In recent days, the image of Vice President Mike Pence and members of the St. Louis community, including Muslims and Jews, working together to restore the vandalized Jewish cemetery, was another illustration of the power of partnership and shared destiny. When Rabbi Hillel was asked 2,000 years ago to summarize the Torah, the Hebrew Bible, while standing on one foot, he said, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor." As our political and law enforcement officials pursue their vital jobs and consider what additional tools they need, we should recall that every major religion has a variation on this theme, which we refer to as the Golden Rule. When asking how each one of us can respond to these unsettling times, perhaps this would be a good place to begin. And that, in turn, can lead us in the direction of Senator Robert F. Kennedy's unforgettable words spoken in 1966. "Each time a man stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance." Here's to many tiny ripples of hope. So you can go to their website, ajc.org. Very nicely stated. So the JPCA called for action against bomb threats against Jewish community. This was dated March 1st, and it's an update. It says the ongoing bomb threats aimed at Jewish community centers, JCCs, have sown fear in more than 1,000 Jewish communities and institutions across the country. We call upon our public officials, in both word and deed, to do everything in their power to put a stop to these threats and incidents, stated David Bernstein, president and CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs, JCPA. "We are heartened and appreciative that President Trump gave this issue top billing in his speech before Congress last night," stated Cheryl Fishbein, chair of the JCPA. "We urge the president to continue to speak out against these threats against the Jewish community and other minority groups in a timely and decisive manner. Our public officials can create an environment in which such incidents are more or less likely to occur," stated Bernstein. "The more our officials declare a commitment to an inclusive, bigotry-free society, the more likely radical elements will be kept in check." So it goes on. They are asking for these implementation of the Anti-Defamation League's anti-hate concepts, convene a federal interagency task force on fighting hate that brings together all the relevant agencies, appoint a White House coordinator for fighting hate, support federal and state level legislation to protect students from increasing religious harassment and discrimination on college campuses, train state and local law enforcement agencies led by the Department of Justice on how to handle hate crimes, including detection and response. We urge Jewish community institutions to reinforce a sense of safety and do not allow these highly disruptive threats to deter participation in Jewish life. Now, I can tell you that we have since learned the Israelis have located and jailed an American Israeli duo citizen individual who was responsible for these calls. He used technology on the internet so that he wouldn't be detected, although they ultimately did find him, to create these. What his motivation was, I don't think they've clearly figured that out yet, but this gentleman or this individual has been located and is now in jail. So that one person could cause so much disruption, it's really troubling. And people can also, one individual can also do a lot of good. So that's the thing to remember. So I do have an announcement of something that's happening this evening. There's a Tufts open call inviting all members of the Tufts community as well as the general public to their weekly event in the intimately lit lounge on the top floor of Dowling Hall. Open call is an experiment in creating meaningful human connection at Tufts through shared novel experiences. Open call aims to provide a non-alcoholic social space to meet new people and explore your own senses. For more information, including the details of the next event, check out the Tufts Open Call homepage on Facebook. It's a message from Tufts Open Call and WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio. Now, the next open call is this Wednesday, tonight, March 29th at 8:45 p.m. in the Dowling Hall Lounge. So, if you don't have tons of homework to do and papers to write, you might check that out. And so I've got one or two more things that the Burin, they have a lunchtime concert series, acoustic, indie, bluegrass, Americana, country, jazz, Celtic, folk, and more. You can go to schedule at burin.com, and they're featuring our community's best local artists, Monday to Friday from 1 to 2. There's a lunch special. It's $6.95 for soup and sandwich. They're at 247 Elm Street in Davis Square in Somerville. And also they have performance and opportunities at the Burin. You can perform on the many stages of the best live music club in town. They have a Sunday Lantern Sessions hosted by George Woods. That's at 8 p.m. They host local and touring singer-songwriters as well as acoustic hands. Info at birdsinthewoods.com. The Burin Lunchtime Concert Series, which I just spoke about, and the Burin Open Mic Night on Tuesday, 17 years and running, hosted by Hugh McGowan. 7 p.m. sign up, burin.com/calendar.html. Click sign up info. They're on the Red Line Tee at Davis Square, and that's a very nice venue. So those are some nice things to do. And I'm going to pop in something new. I have all kinds of new things for you. Oh, of course, this CD player is not liking that CD. I don't know why that is. Some of these, this one, okay. Yep, it's going in. Oh, good. So now, let's see. Oh, well, let's go to this one. Okay.
سفران شان تستر تسر وتنيدم تسنان تأجل لأجرجان الهوين إرزهان تنجور تلا سفران شان تستر تسر وتنيدم تسنان تأجل لأجرجان
Si muri gosi, ay mama. Si muri gosi, oh, nya alma kana turmi. Si muri gosi, follas tutu na murcha. Rapas garangi kuna muri, oh, oh. Baga bagas na toma conta di mi. Si muri gosi. Nya alma kana turmi kontra kunyar mons kua kana costa pa cinema populason na diorna ubis na koi koi.
But till we come all day, we know they do what we learn. They say love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mandalaji, now so the people and the bed. Mandalaji, now so the people and the bed. Una give me for God, now so the people and the bed. Una give me for God, oh, now so the people and the bed, yeah. What you make some people wicked so? Then go see mortal man they die in a street with angry oh. Then no go kia safe, then go say no to them famulo. Salomon the Tifa, he go below the last farmer so. Salomon the Tifa, he go put money in a wall banko. Other man and they no get place for sleep. Mr. Government, you get for take care of them bigger man them. Walking come a Wellington as I can reach up console. Me ask him begin well because na so so big a man a kissing na street a kid say. Mandalaji, na give me for God, it's a be the lie. Mandalaji, na give me for God, it's a be the lie. Hey bo, Mandalaji, na so the people in the bed. Mandalaji, na so the people in the bed. Oh na give me for God. Now so the people in the bay. Oh, now give me for God. Oh. Now so the people in the bay. Yeah.
Quanto t'amo, costo cuore, mamma, tu Nina nana marinare, tu si ve come un mare, a volte calmo senza creste, a volte tutta una tempesta, ma tu suon tante cose e chissà se ti ricordi che tra luna e mezze stelle io t'aspetto a braccia aperte. Quando ci aspettate d'averti questa sera costa luna piena, quando ci assoniate di dirti quanto t'amo costo cuore.
So that was from a wonderful new Putumayo CD called Vintage Italia. Putumayo presents Vintage Italia, and the artist was Nina Nana, and the song was Pink Martini. So it says that Putumayo digs deep into the vaults of Italian music to unearth some of their favorite songs by iconic singers of the 1950s and early 1960s, as well as newer recordings by artists who continue to find inspiration in the music that served as the backdrop for an era sometimes called La Dolce Vita, the sweet life, after the 1960s film by Federico Fellini captured worldwide attention. So it has other artists, Nicola Aureliano, Fred Bascaloni, Julia De Palma, Flo Sandon, and Teddy Reno. So we'll be hearing more from this. And I think that was just absolutely lovely. So before that, we heard from the Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars. They were recently in Boston in December at the Middle East Restaurant as part of the Afropop Nightlife. So the song was called the disc is called Libation, and the song is Manjalanji. And that comes to us from Kombucha. Thanks to Joe for sending that down to me. I wasn't able to go to the show, unfortunately, but let's see, this was says Sierra Leone refugee all-stars have risen like a phoenix out of the ashes of war and inflamed the passions of fans across the globe with their uplifting songs of hope, faith, and joy. The band is a potent example of the redeeming power of music. Hear, hear. And the ability of the human spirit to persevere through unimaginable hardship and emerge with optimism intact. From their humble beginnings in West African refugee camps, Sierra Leone's refugee all-stars have performed on some of the world's most prestigious stages and matured into one of Africa's top touring and recording bands. So that's great. And what else did I play? Banda Maravilla. See if I have anything on that. African Rumba. Okay, that was a Putumayo presents African Rumba. And I don't know where I have anything on that, but let me just look at the liner notes for what we The song was Sin Morigros Gosi, and the song is played by Banda Maravilla. I think that's how you pronounce that. Let's see what they say. I can find it. There it is. Okay, so Banda Maravilla is a popular band based in the Angolan capital, Luanda. Their main inspiration is the work of Liceu Vieira Diaz and Ngola Ritmos, popular artists who pioneered the use of traditional Angolan instruments, rhythms, and languages in Angolan music, which previously had been scorned by the Portuguese authorities. Banda Maravilla has brought the rebita back into fashion. It's a style of music that emerged in the lounge bars frequented by the black urban elite. Since they were founded in 1993, they have also become Angola's premier performers of semba, the traditional music of Angola that many musicologists consider the historical root of Brazilian samba. This particular song, Sin Morigosi, taken from the band's 2010 album As Nossas Palmas, reveals that the Cuban influence can also be heard in Angola's musical mix. This makes sense on many levels. Angola borders the Congo and was heavily influenced by the rumba and soukous sounds coming from their neighbors. Also, Cuban soldiers and advisors took part in Angola's long civil war, and they traded musical recommendations with the Angolans. Very interesting. So that's a nice new collection from Putumayo. And the next one, or the thing what I opened up the set with, was Atomic Crest, All Around Kidal. It says, all around Kidal, the Malian desert stretches in every direction, endless horizons of rock and sand, barren and parched. This is the southwestern edge of the Sahara, the home of the Tuareg people, and the town of Kidal is one of their main cultural centers. Fought over, conquered, and reconquered, it remains the symbol of Tuareg defiance and hope, the spiritual home of a dispossessed people. It is also the town in which Tamacrest first came together as a group, and on Kidal, Tamacrest's fourth studio album, the band pays homage to this place that's nurtured them and their people. It's a cry of suffering and the yell of rebellion. It's power and resistance. This is pure Tuareg rock and roll. It's great. Kidal talks about dignity. Agmosa says, we consider the desert as an area of freedom to live in, but many people consider it as just a market to sell to multinational companies. And for me, that is a major threat to the survival of our nomadic people. So we'll be hearing more from that in the future. So so many new things, I don't know what to play for you first, but a lot of it has to do with, let's see, looks like what I can get these CD players to actually allow me to play. Okay, so here's this one, Vintage Italia. Great. So this is something I think I played the last time I was here. Let's see if this will... Oh, it liked it. Very nice. This is Anna Weber, and we'll talk more about it afterwards. But I think, did I play the theme from this? Maybe I'll try that. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.